I guess I'd like to ask you, just to start with, how many symposiums have you overseen?
I've been with Gartner for about 4 years now, just about 4 years, and I attended probably 4 to 5 per year. So, and then probably another handful of other summits and events that Gartner does each year.
In terms of IT, is the symposiums the most complex?
Symposium is by far most complex. The number of sessions, the number of attendees, just the overall amount of excitement. So, symposium is, you know, is our flagship from pretty much any metric you can imagine.
Really, I wouldn't have considered there to be a huge amount of IT, but what's involved?
Unfortunately, you know, for this day and age, the venues themselves really don't have an infrastructure in place that allows a whole bunch of people to get together really close to each other and then, you know, support, you know, wireless networking or, you know, any kind of networking, even voice, you know, in many places, cell phone signals are difficult. You know, we essentially come in and overlay our own technology and infrastructure for the networking capabilities. And then we have on-site applications to help people, you know, navigate the agendas, set up their agendas, sessions, analyst one-on-ones, you know, register, all of that activity. For some events, that could be as many as 500 or more computers. That, you know, with routers and switches and all kinds of stuff, you know, that goes behind that. So it's an IT shop. It's almost a mobile IT shop that we sort of bring to the site, set it up in about a day and a half, run it for 3-4 days, and then tear it down in a half a day. And, yeah, it's essentially a small data center, yes.
Yeah. It's sort of put up in a day and a half and taken down.
Well, those are the mechanics that happen here. Obviously, there's an enormous amount of project planning and preparation work, you know, scouting way up front to understand the venue, to understand, you know, what infrastructure exists, how it works, and, you know, where's the coverage and where's not, and what do we have, you know, where do we have to pull wires and where, you know, we can use existing, where do we need to add, you know, add additional access points for wireless, all of those things. And then, we take it back into the lab and essentially set that whole environment up, connecting, you know, every piece of equipment, all the wiring, as if it were here, except obviously it's in model mode, mark it all, put it into boxes, bring it here, and then start installing it. If we didn't do that with that much equipment and complexity, it would take us, you know, a week to 2 weeks to do it here.
So each access point or whatever is actually marked and said it has to go in this location?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's one up here, and, you know, if you want to climb on the table and take a look, you'll see you'll see that it has a number on it and, you know, where it's going, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the only way. If we don't do that, we'll forget. And things still go wrong. So even with that, you know, you have challenges. You know, things happen. But without that and a very, very detailed project plan, I mean, you know, a project plan is probably an inch or more thick that, you know, we follow very rigorously and make sure that we do all of the things in there. And it works well. It's a well-oiled machine.
How have things changed? I mean, obviously, wireless is the technologies are constantly moving forward. Today, I guess a couple of years ago, smartphones weren't as pervasive. Maybe the BlackBerry was the big thing. How do you plan for that?
You don't really plan for, you know, anticipating that something will happen. You plan for that something's going to happen. You don't know what is going to happen, but something is going to change. So, you know, the architecture behind what we do, we want to, you know, have it as flexible as possible so that if we, you know, if things change dramatically, we can fix it quickly. So, for example, in Orlando, we had, do you remember, Andrew, 20, 30, 40% additional users?
Yeah, 40%.
40% additional users attending, roughly 20% here.
Yeah, 20% here.
But usage of the wireless Was probably about 150% in Orlando. It's at least double here. It's about 100% more here. And we have no way of knowing up front what, you know, what's going to happen. If we look at, you know, just 3 years ago, the usage of PDAs and personal laptops, very minimal. You know, we were using maybe 10, 12 megabytes per second of bandwidth. We're close to 40 this year, you know, just 2 years later. It's about twice as much as last year. You know, even though attendance only went up 20%, usage went up by 100%. And next year, it's likely to double again, for all we know.
Being a Gartner, it must be quite a unique position, because you get presumably a lot of advice coming in and people maybe telling you how to do your job. Well, how do you sort of manage that and handle that? Do you ever lose your temper?
That would be the biggest mistake, is to, you know, lose your cool and you know, not actually take it as a positive thing. My background is actually, I spent almost two decades at IBM Research Labs, and it's a very similar environment. Everybody has a big ego, and everybody is very intelligent and, you know, have, you know, very impressive degrees of universities they come from. And it's an environment where people challenge often, and most of the time, I would claim, for valid reasons. And because, you know, by challenging, you improve things. And so I do get quite a bit of that, you know, from the, you know, 1,500 or 2,000 CIOs inside of Gartner. And by the way, my boss, the CEO, is a former CIO too. So just to make sure I'm capped from the other side as well. It is actually, at the end of it, it is actually mostly constructive. There's always an exception or two. People are human beings. But it is rather, you know, constructive in most all cases, as long as whatever the subject is, I didn't, you know, screw up. We IT didn't just do something, you know, really stupid or bad, which happens. I mean, that's real world and it happens. And when it happens, stand up, admit it, you know, just, you know, sort of neutralize it just by saying we made a mistake and here's, you know, what we're doing to correct it and you know, make sure it never happens again. Therein lies this, you know, sort of one of the bigger things, you know, sort of differences that maybe other CIOs may have. I really, either to my boss or to my users, I have no chance of pulling the wool over their eyes. They know better, and if I try to, you know, convince them of something that just doesn't make sense, or I'm making it up, or making excuses, or whatever, I'm gone. It doesn't work. On the other hand, if I do have good rationale, which, you know, as we get better and better, I'm actually able to have a very honest and intelligent conversation on the issue. And, you know, these are all the, you know, all people that understand IT, they understand budgets, they understand priorities, they see it every day. And so when I say, well, you know, I can only do three things, not 10. Here are the other seven that are on the queue, and, you know, we'll get to them. But here are the three that I'm working on, and we think these are, right now, more important to the business. And so I can't get to fix those other, you know, other things that I'd love to get onto. They actually get it. They understand that because they see it. I think regular CIOs out there in other companies, I don't think they have that luxury, actually. I've been there, and I think people there are just as demanding, actually. But when you try to explain to them the realities, they don't care. You know, either they don't understand or they don't care. You know, it's like they care more about, you know, their particular situation and are, you know, are they getting what they really want? So it's a bit of a double edge. But I think in general, I would claim that in many ways it's actually easier than you know, typical CIO.
I noticed. Not this year, but also last year, that with the iPad, it seems to be the device for CIOs. And obviously, you're an iPad user. Is it really the device for CIOs?
I think it's a toy for CIOs at this point. You know, interesting toy, very useful toy. It's convenient. CIOs are typically not heavy, you know, heavy users. So, you know, they typically don't need hard crunching type capabilities or applications. It's connectivity to information, whether it's on the web, whether it's email and things like that. And it's fabulous for that. You know, certainly you can, you know, look at dashboards and information, you know, business intelligence type things on it very nicely. There's, you know, some interesting applications and all. So it's convenient. It's certainly a lot easier to carry around than a laptop, lighter and easier to work with and deal with and all. So from that perspective, yes, and I think you know, it's a use case that many users I think have, and as a result, you know, I think it's going to be a popular device, whether it's the iPad or whether it's Droid or, you know, whatever other options there are going to be out there in the market, and I do believe there are going to be, you know, quite a few down the road. But the concept of having, you know, a slate or tablet type of device, I think is here to stay, and there's a use case that it makes sense. You know, will it replace, you know, everything? I personally, in my opinion, no. I still believe the mobile device is, you know, has its uses. And I also think that the PC is going to stay around for quite some time, because I think, you know, for heavy-duty authoring and writing and all of that, I still think that's going to be a better device for quite a while. Mm-hmm.